microphones and make a podcast. Two microphones and you make a podcast.
Hi, this is Joyce.
And this is Mary Beth.
And we are on a podcast roll.
We are. I mean, we're recording this one, right?
Yes. Nice to see you. I haven't seen you in...
I saw you 5 minutes ago, and when I was waiting for the new Zoom invite to come, I assumed Joyce is peeing right now.
Oh, I texted you, but you're on Do Not Disturb.
I am on... Did it tell you I'm on Do Not Disturb? iPhone changes things because, like...
No.
Like some people, so all of a sudden this week, people are like, why are you telling me I'm on Do Not Disturb? And I'm like, well, iPhone must have updated and now it's letting you know.
No, that's usually a thing.
Yeah, but I don't think I had it set up that way.
Oh, maybe it just decided for you that you didn't want to be available to me.
Right. I'm so always available to you, Joyce. And by that, I mean, I'm not always available to you. I don't own a business.
You have been really busy lately.
I have in a good way.
Yeah.
And because it's summertime, my mood is light and better and wonderful.
In fact,
I'm still wondering, even though summer solstice is only several days away at this point, I'm still thinking of throwing out there that we should do like a sun salutation pop-up out on the grass in Brecksville after Yin Sauna on Wednesday.
So the weird thing about that is that you were there when we did one time we did yoga on the square in Strongsville.
Yes.
All the traffic. You know what I mean? Do you remember when some kids in a Jeep were taking a right from 82 to Pearl and they said, fuck yeah, yoga.
I mean, I love it. I know, but I actually talk about you quite a bit because a lot of times people will come, like in slow flow, they like the back door open to the outside. Some people will seek out that area. And they always say, when are you going to do yoga outside again? And I say,
I love
outdoor yoga, but Joyce doesn't love outdoor yoga. And it's funny. Some girls were telling me about a class they took outdoors. And it was like by a Taco Bell drive-through. And they said, well, that was it's a little weird doing Happy Baby, showing all of your lady parts to the Taco Bell drive-through. But whatever.
There's just so much. And now in these days, it's just not easy to find a space to do outdoor yoga. Like there's a lot of.
And other people hate, like I have a mat that's dedicated to outdoor yoga because it's gross. You might be on. You might be on bird shit. There's going to be a bug crawling across your mat. There's going to be pollen falling on you or maybe a leaf. And for a lot of people, that is no bueno.
And it's the ground, like your mat just, it lifts and lowers. And even worse than that is beach yoga. Do you have sand and.
Yes, I actually love that. But for that, I usually just use a beach towel. Joyce, I think you need to let go and just get the sand in your craw.
In my craw?
I don't know what a craw is, but sometimes people have something stuck in it.
Oh, I'm gonna see what Google says about craw.
Crabs in your craw. Your craw space.
The crop of a bird or insect. The stomach of a person or animal. That's the humorous definition.
Oh, something stuck in your craw. What are you on, Urban Dictionary or like actual Merriam-Webster?
Google.
Google.
From Oxford.
Oxford. Oh, that was a terrible accent. I don't even know how to say Oxford. So we have a lot to cover because you're going to spin a yarn. I know I have not spoken to you since you returned from a little 3-day trip, a little jaunt with James. Oh, that's what you're going to call all of your trips from now on. Jaunt with James.
With that accent?
Unless you go somewhere without James. And then it's just a jaunt with Joyce, a Joyce jaunt.
It's a lot of J's. Yeah, we did one of our...
concert groupie.
Yeah, we used the Dave Matthews concert as an excuse to get out of town for a couple of days. Dave Matthews didn't play in Cleveland, or he's not playing in Cleveland this year. So, or Blossom, which isn't really Cleveland. So we went to see him outside of Buffalo, which is cool because James and I have never, well, aside from seeing him in New York City last year, we've really never traveled east, but
shuffled off to the
western part of New York, which is really lovely. Like, I've never been to Buffalo, and we didn't go to downtown Buffalo. We stayed, this is really weird, we stayed in a city called Akron, which was near Amherst.
Oh my gosh.
Wadsworth out there. Yeah. It was very weird.
Funny. Well, you know, not so much necessarily those towns or those words, but I know a lot of our county names like Cuyahoga, and there's an Indian heritage that, yeah. So some of those are repeated.
There was a lot of Indian names that I cannot even remember or pronounce out there too. So I think, yeah,
here's a plug. There's a local, I want to say local to Cleveland now, musician named, and I thought this was like a stage name, but I think this is the dude's real name, Thor Platter.
Nuh-uh.
And he is from Buffalo. And in fact, he's got a great song that talks about Buffalo. So look up Thor Platter. It's an interesting kind of music. Some sort of like Crosby, Stills, and Nash kind of vibe, let's say. He's probably not going to want to be described in any way necessarily, but
maybe we can get him on the podcast.
Thor Platter Band. He's probably going to look at me and roll his eyes. And because once I requested Rocky Top at a show of his, and he's like, that's like somebody yelling Freebird from the crowd for a bluegrass picker. So no, he just flat out said no. Love him though, really. Jeff's cousin Rob used to sometimes play drums with him, but he's sort of a different, plays with different people, right? So
he's on his own. He's not a band. He is
Thor
just
Platter. I think sometimes there's the Thor Platter Band. But anyway, he's around town, lots of bars, lots of places, indoor and outdoor, in the CLE and the Buff.
And
that's my word for Buffalo.
So Buffalo was, I'm looking at his tour dates. Lorraine, Vermilion, Cleveland.
There you go.
Amherst, Cleveland, Peninsula. Yeah. Marblehead, Olmsted Falls. We'll have to go check him out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we stayed in this little Airbnb cabin. I feel like we got this Airbnb really right. Like, we've been to, I don't know that we've ever had a bad Airbnb experience, but this one was really good because you never really know what you're going to get.
Right. And I was just going to say, the Airbnb situation that cropped up in recent years is so great. It's like such a better way to travel and see someplace than a hotel room. I just am so glad that that became a thing.
Well, I think the last one we were in was in Detroit, and James had said something like, we should have like a little, I don't know, to go bag for Airbnb, like with ketchup and, you know,
I usually take, I was just talking to my sister about this because her family, that's why I'm dog sitting. They're headed to their Outer Banks trip, a whole big bunch of family members. And I said, always, you know, I always take a decent knife because a lot of places, if you're going to cook at home at all,
yeah.
Which those of you who know Joyce, she probably doesn't need the knife, but a dull knife or a bad knife is as dangerous as like the super sharpest thing ever. So I always travel with a knife. And actually, Jeff and I do have a box. Ziploc baggies, like things you might need, matches that might not,
because you don't know what you're going to get. Some Airbnbs have coffee and good knives and all the condiments, and then you know, because it's usually
all the condoms,
what people leave, right? So you don't really know what you're walking into. And we packed, James packed a cooler, and like we brought food, and it was, we ate out a little bit, but it was so nice to not have that pressure of having to figure out where we're going to go and, you know, how
I thought of James yesterday in my kitchen, because when Jeff and I got home from our weekend away last Sunday night, we, as we sometimes will do, ordered in Chinese food, and I get brown rice, which Jeff cannot stand. So he gets normal white rice. So there's always a tub of brown rice that's way too much. And I always save it for enough days until I throw it away. This time yesterday, I was like, hey, I still have brown rice left. So I hacked up some vegetables and an egg, and I made myself vegetable fried rice, probably not as good as James's, because as James has told us before, us white women don't know how to season stuff with his spicy Asian heritage. But I thought of him fondly.
If he didn't have his earbuds in, he probably would hear you right now.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we packed up a cooler and it was really nice. So we left on Tuesday. And I don't know if I've mentioned this on the pod before, but and James thinks I'm nuts, but when we went to Detroit, we used the Trevor Hall concert as an excuse to go there. And Trevor skipped Cleveland as well. So the show he
first name basis. Did you all notice that, yeah, Trevor?
That he had played in Buffalo just prior to coming to Detroit and just cruised through Cleveland, I guess. And he posted about a tattoo that he got. He and his wife got tattoos by this girl who is called Intentional Ink on Instagram. And I started scrolling through her stuff and I loved it. Like, we're, you know, like on such similar pages. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh,
you can tell just by the name Intentional
Ink. Yeah. And so, you know, I've had this, I don't know if you know this, but I've had this, this journey, this tattoo journey. I got a tattoo when I was 19, because a friend had just, I really liked this symbol that he drew. And, but it was of dripping painting or dripping candle wax or something. And I wanted it to look like that. And when I got it, the tattoo artist was like, "Are you sure you want it to look like dripping painting or dripping paint or candle wax?" I'm like, "Yeah, I want it exactly like that." And he asked me a bunch of times. And I just shouldn't have done that. Like, it kind of came out sloppy. And, you know, at first I really loved it. And then a few years later, I was like, yeah, I probably didn't need to do that. And then a few years after that, I was like happy that I couldn't see it. It was on my right ankle. And then it just really started bothering me. So I looked into getting it removed and then had it removed down at the Cleveland Clinic. And this was probably when, I don't know, my cousin had a tattoo removed. So, but I still think that tattoo removal was sort of new,
mm-hmm.
Because I paid like $250 a treatment, and
mm-hmm.
you can do them 6 weeks apart, but like you can never really go back. So even if you did one a year for however many years you need it removed, like it just doesn't go back. But it takes a long time to heal. It takes weeks to heal and mm-hmm. to really see what difference a treatment makes. But apparently, they push the ink back into your blood with a laser. And so every time you go, they get a little deeper and a little deeper. So at first it hurts really bad.
It never
really was painless, but, I think I had 8 treatments and over the course of a few years and I got rid of it, but it always just was one of those things that stuck with me. And it came with, like, I don't know, just a long story, you know, about me making bad decisions and doing dumb things and
or decisions you regretted, not necessarily bad decisions or dumb things.
I think that's what I was telling myself though. And so this whole, I got it again, but a very beautiful and updated version. Because,
oh, so that was actually a similar picture. Cause mm-hmm. I love what you got. I didn't really realize it was the same sort of image. Wow.
Yeah. I'm going to try to I'll send you a photo. Well, I'm going to try to find a photo of the original tattoo, but I definitely have the design.
It was beautiful.
Thank you.
It is beautiful. And I haven't seen it in person. I haven't looked at your leg in person in a number of days.
It's really small. But the experience was kind of amazing. Like, so she tattoos out of her van that she practically lives in. And
Wow. We
went directly to her because of the time. And James was like, "So you're meeting this girl in a park in her van? Are you asking to be kidnapped?"
I mean, James, I'm not meeting a guy in a park in a van. So yeah, it's fine.
It's fine. Totally fine. She's a yogi. So yeah, she's a yogi. She's a yoga teacher. She's just a real artist. Free spirit. Her name's Kristen. And she loves Trevor Hall. So she had Trevor Hall playing and incense burning. And like, it was,
but does she just call him Trevor?
I don't think so. Well, I don't know. Maybe she's met him a few times. She's tattooed him a few times. We didn't talk about him too much, but like she just has this presence of taking this very seriously and listening to the story. And I just felt like I was in a really sacred space. Plus, when she was tattooing me, I was laying like in the back of her van as kind of her bed, but it's not really a bed. But she had me lay on there so that she could get to my foot, and the back doors were open and behind me was a waterfall. So I'm like,
wow.
Yeah, the whole thing was, it was just really right. Like this whole journey, which is mostly in my mm-hmm. head, came to this really beautiful conclusion that I feel like, for me, there was a lot of like self-acceptance and forgiveness and this, I just did it right this time. And like,
yeah, so it is okay. Like, it's about the journey. It wasn't ever about the tattoo or the destination mm-hmm. or the product. It was always yeah. about the journey.
So I told her that I was very open with regard to the design. She let, you know, I said, had sent her the design a few days ago.
See, like letting go of control to the person who might be an expert versus, no, I want that dripping paint version yep. because that's what I think.
And she added lotus flowers to the symbol. Mm. The symbol was enclosed in like an oval, and it had the symbol for man and woman coming out of it. And I just, the oval didn't make sense anymore, but then the man and woman symbol had to be lost. And she added a lotus flower, and we moved it around a little bit. And I just like what it symbolizes mm-hmm. in a bigger way too. So I know I've talked about a shoulder issue I've been having, and I haven't had it in a while because Carrie Hoffman is amazing. But Carrie, when she would work with me, would always tell me how responsive I was to treatment, like how responsive I was to a little bit of help. Like my body just, it wasn't difficult to get it going in the right direction. And so, so just kind of watching it readjust and heal was, like she knew that was going to happen. And I just took that as lately, I think I've been thinking about that. And like, when I get help, I'm so much better, you know,
a willingness to surrender.
Yeah. And
like that Buddhist or whatever saying, I'm going to mess it up. Maybe when I let go or when I surrender, I float. It's the law. And that's what we all need. Like, and we just talked about a little bit with Mary Alice Beck on the preceding episode, like when you let go of the expectation and the control and you float with what's best, it can be great.
But, and for me, I'm in control or in charge a lot.
Oh
and
my gosh.
So I don't get the opportunity to let go. I have to let go in control. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
And sometimes
yes, you still are where the buck stops. You still have to be holding the reins, to use another horse metaphor yeah. for Mary, but in a moment, if you're safe and things are safe, you can let go. And you know, your lotus flower, that symbolism so prevalent in yoga. Sometimes we take a minute to talk about it, right? Another little saying is no mud, no lotus.
Yeah.
Because the lotus sort of hovers and sinks its roots into mud, not really firm dirt, but it's sort of hovering, and you got to deal with the mud to have that beauty that blooms out of it.
And I've been thinking about, even, it's not even silly, but like it's softball. Sometimes I come with, or a lot of times I come with a lot of stress, because in Strongsville it's Friday nights and people are always dropping out. And like, I'm always the one who gets the text or the call, like we need someone. And I'm doing teacher training. And then we have the donation class and I don't always play well because I know it's just for fun, but like,
mm-hmm.
but when I get a little bit of help, like last year, I had a friend of the family hit me ground balls, and then mm-hmm. I was awesome. You know, mm-hmm. like it just took one 45 minute little practice.
And I remember that story that I'm not going to make you repeat now, but that was a military buddy of your dad's, right? That you hadn't seen in years.
Well, bowling buddy, but yeah.
Oh, okay.
And
bowling buddy.
He might have served in the military, but
and
yeah.
The hitting of the balls thing was like,
what my dad,
you know, here we are close
me.
To Father's Day. And yeah, there was that little bit of, it's all such a wonderful fabric woven yeah. together, right?
And so, yeah. And I just, you know, with this tattoo experience, really surrendered and trusted and like thought of all the things that led me to her. And like, you know, you can say it's Trevor Hall because it was, but like,
or just Trevor.
James was the one who we went to see him at when we first started dating. We went to the Ziggy Marley show at the House of Blues and Trevor Hall opened up. And the reason that we went was because I think the Lime Tree was being played in classes a lot. And I was like, I'd like to see this guy. And he's opening for Ziggy Marley. That would be a fun show. And then we kind of both checked out what Trevor Hall had to offer. And it was like, oh, this is going to be a good show. You know, like it's, and then that's kind of what started that. But like, even before that, you know, I heard him first at yoga and if it weren't for skating, I probably wouldn't have tried yoga. And if it weren't for skating, I wouldn't have hurt my back. Not that I wanted to, but like all of these things, how they tie together. I guess it's my story, my history, but like these significant things all definitely have a link. And I knew in this moment when I was being tattooed exactly where I was at in time. And like, and I was good. I was really relaxed and like, I knew I was in the right space and I'm happy. Like I'm very content with what I did. And she does hand poke tattoos. So it's not an electric needle. She dips a needle in ink and, it doesn't hurt as much and it heals a lot more quickly. So like I put a little Aquaphor on it every day, but it doesn't really itch like, and it's not swollen or anything like that. So that healing process, is quicker. Like I'm not, I don't want to say I'm not as damaged, but, I don't know how else to say it. So, and we didn't go out of the way to do this. Like we had these tickets to see Dave Matthews back in April when we were in Detroit seeing Trevor Hall and he made this post, you know? So I just like, it all kind of links together. So we got this cute little Airbnb cottage. We immediately went and I did this. And then, we had dinner at this really cute cafe and our cabin was fantastic. It overlooked this little pond. And then the next day we got up and took our time and, went to Niagara Falls, which was like, I don't know, a 40-minute drive away. And got on the Maid of the Mist cause that's what you do. And it was cold. Mm-hmm. So, or cold for June 14th. Mm-hmm. So the crowds weren't that bad, you know, which was great cause it's crowded at Niagara Falls, but, and probably a lot of Clevelanders have been there a ton of times, but it is really amazing. Like it's so breathtaking every time that you go see it. It's just like, wow, this is incredible.
It is. And I'm always struck when I'm there at Niagara Falls or even just by the ocean, not only you feel smaller and less significant, but the thought that that's just always happening, always churning, whether anybody's watching or not. Yeah. Nature happens to the nth degree.
Yeah. And when they tell you every time you go in the Maid of the Mist that about erosion and how the falls have moved back like 7 feet or something since some date. And you're just like, it's never going to stop though. You know, like it's just, it's so powerful. So then we walked around, Goat Island. Which is funny because on the way, one of the conversations we had in the drive was that James cannot stand, I shouldn't say he doesn't really passionately hate it, but the, you know, how everybody talks about the goat, you call everyone the goat
yoga.
The
greatest of all time goat. Yeah.
He's like, how can you say that of all time? Are you going to live forever?
Yeah. You don't know what all time. You can say the greatest of all pastime, but greatest of all time so far.
Here we are on Goat Island. And
the greatest island of all time.
Yes, of all time. We had lunch at the top of the falls, which was surprisingly really, really good. And like we thought lunch would be fine, but like
thought it would be touristy lunch.
Yeah, and it was nice. It wasn't super fancy or anything. It was just really good. And then we were walking back and or back towards our car, and I got a call from my cousin. My dad is one of five boys, has five brothers. So he's one of six boys. And, you know, after my dad passed, he was the third youngest, and the older three had already passed. Then my uncle Frank passed a little over a year ago. My uncle John, who's the youngest boy, he's been dealing with a brain tumor for the last few months, probably longer than that, because that's just how my uncles roll. He was dying. And they live in North Carolina. So the doctor said he probably had, 6 months, and this was like 3 weeks ago. So the plan was to get him to Cleveland so that he could be surrounded by family. And, they were preparing to do that, on Wednesday, actually. I think he was supposed to leave on Wednesday. So it's Friday today. And he started shutting down. So my cousin, his daughter, his one and only child, who's young, she's going to be 25 in August. Aww. Yeah. I have been talking to her a lot, but she called, you know, and when her name pops up, I had to take that call, and she was crying so hard she could barely talk. And, she said, basically, he's dying and they're putting him in hospice and he's not coming back to Cleveland. So, he wasn't responding. He wasn't responsive at all. Since I think maybe she got a little response out of him Wednesday morning, but not so much, as the day went on. And, so that was really hard and hard to hear. And, you know, I wanted to get to Charlotte, but I also know those last few hours are really meant, I think, for his close family.
It's an intimate, precious time. And hopefully, it doesn't always happen, but hopefully in time, his daughter and you all will be able to look back and realize it happened really the best way that it should have. But I'm sure, you know, you thought you'd have another chance to say goodbye. I don't know when the last time you spoke to your uncle or saw him was, and you thought you were going to have that one opportunity.
Yeah. I mean, it's so I think my uncle Frank died last April, and on my uncle John's drive up here, he lost hearing in one ear, and he went to the clinic and they couldn't find anything. He felt like it just needed, like his ear needed a pop, and he couldn't make it happen. And they couldn't find anything. And so they referred him to a doctor in Charlotte and to do follow-ups, and they kind of chalked it up to old age. My uncle John was a very young, at that point, 75-year-old. And, and so he just lost hearing in one ear, and he had to sort of, chalk it up to age. And I don't know if we'll ever know, but I think that was the beginning. Right.
Now we have to suspect, maybe. Yeah.
And like my dad, I guess he probably dealt with a discomfort and pain that he wasn't either accepting or acknowledging.
Or he too was like, I'm getting old.
Right. And his five brothers had all passed. Like, I know that
hit. Yeah. You don't want to hear. That's why people don't go to the doctor. You don't want to hear what they're going to tell you. Until the words are spoken or the biopsy results are back, you don't know and you're still okay. The devil you know is better than what might be coming.
Yeah.
Jeff, too, has an uncle right now, my mother-in-law's brother, who's on hospice care. And when people say, how old is Tim? I keep wanting to say, well, he, too, is 75, but he's like 60, a very young, which just makes it all the harder.
Yeah. So
I'm sorry.
Thank you. So we went, I told Becca to tell him I love him and that I'm drinking beer in Niagara Falls. My uncle loved beer more than most of us. But, I struggle with that. Well, that's what he'd want you to do, yeah, if he were here, maybe, but.
Right. That's what we tell ourselves. But, and now, you've been through it not terribly long ago, losing your dad. So I'm sure that it feels incumbent for you to help your cousin through this.
And so you know, we went on with our day and we were pretty helpless and with in regard to the situation. And then we went to see Dave Matthews at the Darien Lake Amphitheater, which is connected to the Darien Lake Amusement Park. So it's kind of like Blossom at Cedar Point.
Mm-hmm.
And the show was great. It had that first show of the summer vibe.
Mm-hmm. I know just what you mean.
Yeah, it was, and the energy was just great. It was really fun, and it's almost like you get just sort of swept away into, I don't know, inhibition or just mm-hmm. you know, like the.
It's
joy.
Funny because we on another podcast episode you talked about being self-conscious at a Trevor concert. I'm just going to call him Trevor too.
You can call him
because
Trevor.
You I felt like. Columbus. Oh, I had a drink and I danced like no one was watching. And then you woke up the next morning like, oh, was I acting, you know, too free? Was I a spectacle?
Yeah. No, I don't think. Well, yeah. And I don't think I was a spectacle at this show, but it really was.
Hey,
fun.
As long as you kept your clothes on, you probably weren't.
It was cold mm-hmm. and the energy was just, I don't know. I think that's what it is about. I mean, they're a great band, but you mm-hmm. know, a lot of people either love them or they don't like you.
Don't love them.
They're great. And it was great energy and really a lot of fun. It was a good show. And then we got up yesterday, which was Thursday, and kind of took our time. We walked around the property that we were on and we just kind of took our time packing up and we got on the road to head home. And like, we had originally thought, well, we'll do something on the way home, 'cause we don't teach on Thursdays and like we have all day, but the only thing that we could find is to go to the Finger Lakes and drink wine. And it was just like, I don't want to drink wine to
do that and then drive home. Yeah.
But, I was texting with my family and, My uncle passed at about 1:50 yesterday afternoon. So, it's just really hard. And also, you know, he was the youngest of six. And so my brother, who's more of a math geek than I am, put together a Google Doc or an Excel sheet and, did the average ages of my dad and his brother.
Oh, geez. No.
Four of them lived 76 years and some months. Like
wow.
Four out of
close.
The six.
Very so close.
Yes. Very. It's oddly close. But
wow.
My uncle Joe was the oldest. My uncle John, obviously the youngest. So it was 90 years that there was a Fiakovich brother, at least one on the planet. And that's obviously a big part of my family.
Yeah.
That's just gone now.
Gone.
You know? And the text was, all the brothers are having a beer together. You know, they're finally together again. I know.
It makes me cry. Oh, I mean, it is great to picture that. And I was starting to say with this, we're recording this on a Friday and the day after tomorrow is Father's Day. And it occurred to me as I was shopping for Father's Day cards this year that I have nobody in my father's generation to buy a card for anymore. My dad's gone. My husband's dad is gone. Uncle Mick is gone. All the people I would normally buy Father's Day cards, but who there is to now buy Father's Day cards is our son and my nephews, Jared and Zach, and
the kids.
That's really weird because when you're shopping for cards, like for me personally, when it was my dad, and I do the same for my mom, I always buy a really smart-assy, funny card. But then I also buy a pretty serious, because it's an opportunity to take that moment and, you know, be grateful you have a wonderful parent. And so now, you know, I'm buying just like, let's take my nephew, Zach. The first 3 years of his life, my shirt was covered with his drool and I wiped his butt. And now I'm trying to choose a card to express my pride at what a father he is, you know, and the same with Jared and Brad, and it's life. Whew.
Goes by fast.
And it's just like, I'm sure you guys too, with Ashley, such a young mother and maybe unexpected, but like right away, such a mama bear, right?
Yeah.
Like that has to be like well, we had to do something right because that wonderful instinct is there.
Yeah.
So Father's Day is going to be really rough for your cousin, and I'm sure it's still really rough for you.
Well, and it, I think my Uncle John's passing just makes my dad feel that much further away. Mm-hmm. You know, like it's really over now. Like,
and my dad is gone 10 years this year. And so I've been through sort of that whole arc, like it's hard. And then it's melancholy. And now it's mostly smiley and happy and just remembering, but a lifetime has gone by since my dad's been gone. There's marriages and so many more kids in the family that he never knew, and they never will know him other than through us. And it's like time marches on, which is hard and great at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're now the elders.
Mm-hmm. But as I was saying, you know, our moms and aunts mostly are still around, right? It's the, maybe our dads are a couple years older, but the men in general.
Well, here's the other weird thing for me. So my dad, it was one of five, or I'm sorry, he was one of six boys. He had five brothers, obviously. Mm-hmm. My mom was also one of six, and her family is like the Brady Bunch. So I have three uncles and two aunts on my mom's side.
Oh, you said aunt the fancy way.
Who are all alive. And mm-hmm. my Uncle Ron is, I think he's 80. Mm-hmm. So, you know, my mom's side of the family is outliving my dad's side of the family, which is, it's just weird to think about. Like, I don't, mm-hmm. how do you guess that? I don't know.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, so my Grandpa Joe, my dad's dad, lived to 83. He was a coal miner in Pennsylvania. He had the black lung, but that's not what killed him. Actually, a brain tumor killed him. But that's what he died from. But he outlived all of his sons, which is interesting.
Right. And what always strikes me, I think about, is my dad only lived about 10 years longer than his mom. So that scares me, right?
Oh,
but then
yeah.
there's my mom who lived, you know, 65 years already, close to 70 years past when her mother died. And she has lived 45 years past when her father died. So, you know, I can't like get all freaked out about the math, but it's like, seize the day, because we're getting to that other, you know, we know people now in our own generation who are having challenging diagnoses and not making it through. Well, this has taken a depressing turn.
Well, but it's real, you know, and I'm going to be okay. And Becca's going to be okay. And it's going to be a very sad funeral. But we're all,
because he's the last, you know, he's the last one home,
but we're all going to be okay. And that's just a lot to digest.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's funny that it is so much to digest, because it's the only thing we know is that we are probably going to bury our parents if things go the way they're supposed to. So why aren't we more prepared a little bit? Why isn't it easier?
Right.
Because we're human.
Well, and we don't talk about death.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we don't talk about death because we avoid pushing that wound. It's going to hurt.
But it's such a part of life, right? Like, we know this at this age. I feel like, especially at a certain age, but now I think about my cousin, she's only, you know, not even 25. Like, she doesn't have any of her uncles or her dad. So her life experience is way different than mine.
Yeah. From your age 25 till now, you had.
Yeah.
Or those guys around.
Yeah. So, a girl in teacher training, her father, passed away earlier this year, and she had asked me if I had any book recommendations for her. And, you know, I looked back on all the books I read about grief and dealing with loss, and which were a lot because I read a lot of books, but with my dad, there were a lot of like books about the military and and that kind of thing. And then also about mediums. Like it wasn't really about me. It was more about trying to find him or figure him out. And that made me really stop and think. But just a few weeks ago, another friend whose mom died earlier this year just randomly sent me a book called It's Okay Not to Be Okay. Or she just screenshotted it and said, I just finished this book. It's really, really good. In case you haven't read it yet. And so I sent that one on to the girl in teacher training, but I'm listening to it now, and it's coming at such a perfect time. But she's talking a lot about how we don't talk about death. You know, like we might joke and say, oh, when I die, I want my ashes spread here or to be buried there or whatever. But we, other than that, you don't really have those final conversations until it's either the end or almost the end. And it's like, why are we doing, why are we torturing ourselves like this? Because we're all going to die.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And we know it. We always know it, but we still somehow feel it's this thing that's happening to other people, and we comfort them and we're compassionate, but it's not happening to me yet. So let's not talk about it.
Or we put senior citizens in such a far away category that like we're never going to get to, or like we're going to get to in like a decade, or not a decade, more like a century.
Yeah, or a quarter century or whatever it is. Yeah.
Like they don't understand what it's like to be in a young, more able body where it's like they've been here longer than us. Like, why don't we don't respect our elders like a lot of other countries do here.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so much to learn, and those conversations I think should be had. I don't know how to start them because I didn't have them with my dad, and he didn't have
them. It really is. My sister Judy and I were talking about this yesterday. We were talking about, you know, my mom has hearing aids, but her hearing is bad. And then we yell at her, and we were just joking about it. And she said, yeah, we should. And I was talking with my friend Steph about it too. She was helping her parents with a garage sale, and we should speak more nicely to them. But I remember my mom with her dad, who we called Poppy. I remember her saying after the fact, gosh, I would snap at him because he would drive me crazy. He would rustle the change in his pockets, and it just drove me nuts. So it's the cycle of things. And even if the senior citizens, even if my mom doesn't at this moment remember that she was kind of a bitch to her dad, like this is the cycle. So we do need to forgive ourselves a little bit. Yes, we all need to treat each other as well as we can. But I used to jokingly say, you know, when death first became a thing I thought about in life, really the first crazy death in my life was when I was 18. My next door neighbor and babysitter, Karen, died of cancer at 27 years old.
Oh
my gosh, I can't believe it's going to make me cry after so many years. She had a 2-year-old at the time. And so I just never thought that was possible. Like, well, she's not going to die from this. She's got a baby. And so then I started thinking about death. And as I grew older, I would be like, why can't we all just go to sleep one night and pass away and not wake up the next morning? But then as I got even older, I thought, because that would simply be too much to bear. Some of our people were ready to let go of because they're so old, they're suffering, we're all driving each other crazy. So that does make it feel like more of the natural course of things. If we all just didn't wake up one day in the fittest part of our lives, it would be too much, I think, for us to bear, losing each other.
But I think about it with my dogs as Chloe sleeps behind me. Mm-hmm. You know, I love having dogs, and I love hiking with my dogs and doing dog things with the dogs, you know, and they can't do that right now, and they never will be able to again. You know, she has congestive heart failure, so she can't get her heart rate up that high, and she's had it for a year and a half, and like she just doesn't have the stamina, even if I don't get her heart rate up high. And then Colt, he's probably downstairs sleeping. He has arthritis, so he wants to go and go and go, but he can't. And so it takes us sometimes a half an hour to walk maybe 12 houses down the street. And I refuse to not walk them because they're dogs. And I'm committed to, when I adopt an animal, I'm committed to letting them be an animal. And it's probably what's keeping them both here. But it's it's really hard because
it's really hard. But these pets and the ones you've had the whole rest of your life, and this is why, even though it's painful and hard and such a commitment, pets are such a wonderful thing. for children and for us as adults, because it takes us over and over again through that life cycle. I know for damn sure the very first creature I was ever unselfish with was my dog Sunshine when I was a kid. Like, I've been a selfish person until you're adult enough to be otherwise, but not with the pet, yeah. You know? So it teaches us so much in every way. It's like a little mini person's lifespan that you get the opportunity to be a better fellow traveler.
I feel guilty, like yearning to go for a long stroll in a wooded area. I can't say the words right now because
W-A-L.
Yeah.
Can she spell? And
she sometimes, yeah. She's she's pretty out though. She's snoring. But this is what they need right now. And you know, and so I take these very long, short WALKs and it's hard. And they're happy though, you know, or as happy as they can be. And it's not time yet for either.
Right.
It's not time.
There's an internet meme, you know, where I get all my important wisdom that shows a guy and a dog walking, and there's a thought cloud over each. And the guy's thought cloud has his job and his car and all these things. And the dog's thought cloud is the guy and the road and the trees and
present moment,
right?
Yeah.
The same surroundings that you see in the walk. So
they teach us a lot. I can't imagine life without animals. I hope that you become a crazy cat lady in your mountain cabin.
Yeah. I don't know. Part of, you know, again, as you get older, part of the responsibility is making sure that you can do right by your pets. And if travel might be stressful for them or whatever. So we haven't got a dog or a cat since Mr. P went to his great feline reward 4 years ago already now.
Wow.
A year before COVID. Relative to your trip though, didn't you also have, you started to tell us in the previous episode, aren't you having a little bit of a dental problem?
Oh yeah. So James bought some Necco wafers and was...
Let me interrupt you. A, Dolores loves Necco wafers. B, my sisters and I, who waited for the bus at the end of our long driveway on West 130th in our Catholic schoolgirl uniform skirts, used to play communion with Necco wafers.
Yeah, actually, I was thinking about that when I was having some. We were at Walgreens picking up Aquaphor, and he saw Necco wafers. He had never had them. James hasn't. Well, it's because he was in the Philippines, and
right.
So he was like, "I'm going to try these," and I'm like, "You've never had Necco wafers," and they only had the chocolate ones. So we had a bag of pecans, and he was putting them on the pecans on the Necco wafer, and I can't remember what he likened it to, but he had created
like a turtle or
a little umami bite, yeah, and so. And so I had one and I'm like, there's something hard in this pecan. Like what did I just, and then I'm like, oh crap, is this part of my tooth? And sure enough, it's a premolar on the upper right. I only know this because Dennis called
now.
Me back last night at almost, no, it's not really sharp. It just, it's like,
does your tongue keep going there?
Yeah.
Like, why do we do that?
It's not terrible. Like I'm not going to lose my tooth or anything. I did save it. It's big. And so I'm going to the dentist on Tuesday to get it checked out. And then we'll schedule from there. I'm sure I'm going to have it filled or capped or I don't know what they do, but
and then something expensive.
Probably. Yeah. And it made me, now I'm worried that all my teeth are going to just crack.
Rot because, and fall out of your head.
Yeah. Because I'm 50. And
so aside from just death, the aging thing, and we've talked about this before, you don't believe your eyes are going to go, but they do. You don't believe your hearing's going to go, but it does. You don't believe your teeth are going to start to crumble and fall out of your head, but they freaking do.
And I'm pretty healthy dentally wise.
You know, we do our best. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I don't have a lot of issues in my mouth.
It just shows how we really, even though cognitively we know something, we so have trouble accepting that it's going to happen to us in our bodies.
Yeah. So I have a chipped tooth on the inside and I'm waiting for all the rest of them to chip. And hopefully they'll do it by Tuesday so that I have a game plan and then I can have them fixed. I can have really nice bonded, capped white teeth for my uncle's funeral.
You can have a perfect new. Yeah. This is completely off subject. So I hope you're ready for a little change and I won't make it take too long, but the summer schedule has enabled me to take more yoga from our teachers.
I
think I've emailed you each one because I'm not doing that on purpose. I'm just so thrilled with the classes I've been taking. So I'd like to do a little commercial for, so let's see, Erin, I took for the first time a number of weeks ago and she's a newer teacher, right? When did she come out of teacher training?
I want to say it was last summer-ish, maybe fall-ish.
And I took I'm trying to remember, was it a slow flow? Was it a basics? I think it was a slow flow. And boy, did I love it. And I think what I texted you at that time was that as a yoga teacher, I have a hard time at our studio with our teachers falling into just a normal practice because a lot of people know me or I'm listening to steal some things. But with Erin, she did the perfect mix of getting the heck out of the way and not saying too much, which I struggle with, right? I talk too much during class when I'm teaching, but still really meaningful cues and breath. And I just left there like, wow, it's been so long since I just had a practice like that. I was just a person having a yoga practice. So loved that.
Well,
and then
hold on.
Who after that?
Amanda.
Did I email you about? Who?
Amanda.
Amanda Hatfield, who owns a couple of gyms. Has been a fitness competitor. I don't even know what the right terminology is. So strong, high energy.
A side note, Erin graduated January 11th.
Oh, okay. Amanda is a personal trainer, a very high energy, hot power lover.
January 30th for Amanda.
So I was concerned like when I took her class and was hers a slow flow? Yeah, because it's
she's teaching on Fridays.
Boy, what a pleasant surprise. She fell right into yoga teaching in a way that I was concerned she'd have trouble with her eye energy. Again, really wise cues and not, it was maybe a more challenging slow flow physically than some, but my gosh, what a natural. She just did a great job at falling naturally into it. And then just yesterday, I took a Power Basics from Becky Therrien, and I haven't been in a Becky class for maybe a year.
She's so good.
So good. She was great last time I took her, but she's just like effortless now. I think what I emailed you was that her transitions and sequencing was just effortless. You know, everything just made sense in your body and wasn't difficult to follow. You didn't need to listen or look. But also the cues were meaningful and nuanced. Like I'm going to steal from her because it felt so great in pyramid pose to stay in pyramid, but just put your weight in the front foot and come to the tiptoes of the back foot for several breaths and then come back and do the opposite. Put the weight in that back leg and soften the front one and just excellent.
So Becky's been teaching since 2018. Not that that's here nor there, but she's just watching her journey over the last few years she's just really come into her own. I wish that our paths crossed like our schedules. She's like you and I, where I don't
get to see her except a minute. I mean, they all feel like expert. These three classes that I took felt like the most expert classes I've ever gone to. And I was able to just drop out of my mind and practice.
Our staff is so good. It's so good. I'm so, so proud and happy. And when we were training Erin. Erin's so, she just has such a passion for yoga. And also she's very empathetic and intuitive, and like, it just comes out in her teaching. Mm-hmm. And Amanda, I hope I'm right in this, but I love what she has found in herself that she's capable of.
You could find Amanda intimidating. She's so strong, so accomplished. And I remember when she was first going to teacher training, I thought, oh, she's just trying to get certified because she owns these gyms and wants to teach. But the more I got to know her, she approached her with all these accolades and certifications. She approached yoga training with so much humility and soaked it all up. And I think she's thrilled with her own practice and her teaching. And I'm so happy. And it was another lesson for me in the deal was I was bringing baggage to my expectation. She was never,
she was,
you know, to put out a vibe that she was better than this or intimidating or, I mean, just fantastic.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I want to share one more thing with you that I should have talked about when we were talking about the tattoo. So, while the artist was drawing, the tattoo, she told me to pull a card. She had the Rumi Oracle book. And I was like, ooh. Oh, here we go. Because the shit always works for me.
Mm.
And so I pulled a card and read about it. Like you pull a card and mine said the lion and the deer, and then it has a number on it. So you can easily reference it in the book. And so it says, when you enter the garden of the heart, you become fragrant like the rose. When you fly toward heaven, you become graceful like the angel. If you get burned like oil, you become brilliant. When you become thin like hair in yearning, your joy leads the way. That's an interesting one. Mm-hmm. You'll be the kingdom and the king. You'll be paradise and the guardian angel. You'll be infidelity and you'll be faith. You'll be the lion and you'll be the deer. And so I'm not going to read the whole thing because there's like pages of it. But it says, hello, my old friend. Do you remember me? We are the oldest of friends, ancient soulmates. We are acquainted over many lifetimes past and through many lessons learned together in the school of love. So here we meet again in this advanced spiritual training of the human experience. So right from there, I'm like, okay, this, cause I just had explained to her, this is like the me now embracing my past. Let us embark on this studious adventure together. Let us honor the tiger and the lamb within each other, the lion and the deer. This oracle brings you a special message. You are rediscovering a part of yourself that has not been, or that has been lost or submerged underneath more practical concerns. Of course, if practicality is about survival, then learning to be your true self is the most essential and practical. You are
submerged. I love that.
You are asked to bear the chaos of this rediscovery. It may be that talents from this or other lifetimes are reawakened and cause you some discomfort at first, but ultimately they will bring you joy and greater fulfillment.
Bear the chaos of rediscovery. I'm such a word person versus a numbers person. That submerged situation and then bear the chaos of rediscovery. Yes. Now I sound idiotic, but really that's so well said.
The guidance this oracle brings you is that you shall prosper most now if you are willing to unbecome what you have believed yourself to be. It was never really true anyhow, that view. It was partial at best and just a view, an identity, not a genuine reality. Some of your previous sense of self shall likely come with this transition into the fuller experience of your being. I mean, this was what the tattoo was all about, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I was just reading this.
Totally.
Being
the old Joyce, quiet. The real Joyce.
Well, and she was sitting there drawing. A few minutes had gone by. She goes, does this say anything interesting? I'm like, oh, you have no idea.
Yeah. It is the story of that tattoo, the unbecoming and who you thought you were, the practicality of who you were supposed to be thinking you were. Wow.
And I had to get rid of it to be conforming. And
when you were saying, you kept saying she pulled the card, I stopped myself from saying, at least she didn't say pull my finger. because I'm still me and I can't let all these heavy, serious moments go by.
She told me to pull the carpet. And actually, I don't know. I might get the set of cards. It might be a fun thing to have at the studio, but James might protest.
Yeah. Well, this is what I love about James that I've learned from him, because we've all practiced at a lot of beautiful yoga studios, and often there's an altar there, or there's a lot of, a Shiva statue, a Ganesha, a lot of deities from other religions. And James has always been a real proponent of, let's keep almost all of those icons out of it and let everybody bring their own practice without visual cues of maybe you should be Buddhist, maybe you should be Christian, maybe you should pull a card. I do love that about James, because of all of us, he's the one that knows more about the true lineage and the true heritage and the things that would be appropriate to have in the studio. And still, he's always been like, let's keep it open to receive, which I love.
Well,
bravo, janitor James, you're not just for unplugging toilets.
And the whole notion of modern yoga, it has nothing to do with poses and hot power yoga. It's more has to do with, let's do yoga here in 2023. Bring you, and that's it. You know, we're not changing anything. We're also not pretending like it's 5,000 years ago. Mm-hmm. And so if you believe in Rumi and Buddha and whatever, or Jesus, like, cool. Mm-hmm. If you don't, that's all right too. We're not telling you what to believe. It's a self-study. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it was great catching up with you again.
It was, and I still haven't seen you in person, but I can't wait to see that little bit of ink. Maybe our paths are going to cross tomorrow between classes.
I thought you were going to say you can't wait to see my chipped tooth.
Well, since it's a molar, I'm going to go ahead and let you keep that to yourself. If it was your front tooth, I might actually enjoy mocking you a bit, but I don't need to put my big head inside your little mouth.
Well, thanks.
You know, you're welcome. And I can't wait to see the ink in person. And I guess that covers it.
Teeny tiny. It's kind of funny. She made three stencils, like small, medium, and large. And the large one was like a little
pretty
bit too
large.
Big, even though it wasn't that big. And then it was like, it looked like we were going to go with the medium one. And I kept having her go back to the small one, and it just sort of fit, you know, and because it's not a super intricate design, but it just looked, it fit between my ankle and the edge of my foot, or the edge of my Achilles so well. It just looked like a tiny little piece of art. And she was like, I agree. So
that's exactly a tiny little piece of art. It's beautiful.
Yeah. So I'm happy. Happy to be podcasting. Happy to
be
home.
I'm happy for you. Yeah, happy, let's get some more in the can.
That's
what she said.
All right, Mary Beth, nice to see you. I'll catch up with you next time.
You too. All right, we're done.